He came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. But as we walk out this journey called life, we each begin the thirst for something more. We want more than just life as we know it. But it's a thirst for more peace, for more fulfillment, and for more purpose. That was God's plan all along. Since the ancient times, He has made promises that will quench that thirst. And the same promises He made long ago are the same promises He has made for us today.
During a wedding rehearsal, the groom approached the pastor with an unusual offer. He said, "I'll give you $100 if you will change the wedding vows." The groom said, "When you get to me and the part where it asks if I promise to love, honor, obey, and forsake all others and be faithful to her forever, I would appreciate it if you left that part out." He passed the minister a $100 bill and walked away satisfied. The day of the wedding arrived, and they reached the part of the ceremony where the vows are exchanged. When it came time for the groom's vows, the pastor looked at him in the eye and said, "Will you promise to prostrate yourself before her, obey her every wish and command, serve her breakfast in bed each and every morning of your life, and swear eternally before God and your lovely wife that you will not ever even look at another woman as long as you both shall live?" The groom gulped, looked around, and replied in a meek voice, "Yes." After the wedding, the groom pulled the pastor aside and hissed, "I thought we had a deal." The pastor put the $100 bill in the groom's hand and whispered, "Sorry, son, she made me a much better offer." So this morning, we're going to be talking about promises and how there's a lot of times in our life where we try to make deals and promises and covenants, and a lot of times they come and they backfire on us. They don't go the way we plan. And what do we do while that's going on? How do we handle that? And the thing is that we have to realize this morning, and that I'm going to say over and over and over, is that God's promises do not backfire, and they do not fail, because He's faithful every time, and all of His promises are true. And so this morning, as we get started, I want to kind of talk to you about where we're going. And so we're going to read the scripture this morning, and we're going to talk a little bit about the life of Abraham. And we're going to talk about covenants and the importance of that in the ancient times. And then we're going to talk about why it's important that we understand how those covenants worked and how promises work in our lives, and how, and the promises that God offers us and what we should do with them. It's going to be a lot this morning. This could probably be a 12-week series for all I know, but we are going to pack it in this morning. And so there's going to be a lot of teaching, and so I really need you to pay attention or you're just going to get lost. And so if you're a note taker, you're going to love today. If you're not a note taker, you might want to learn real quick. And so turn to the person next to you, and I told you there's going to be a lot of teaching today, but there's also going to be a little bit of preaching. And so turn to the person next to you this morning and say, "You need some teaching this morning." Now turn to your second choice person and say, "And you need some preaching this morning." Amen. Let's stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. It says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre, and while he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, bowed to the ground, and said, 'My Lord, if I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought, that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves underneath the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later you can continue on.' 'Yes,' they replied, 'do as you have said.' And So Abraham hurried into the tent and said to Sarah, "Quick, knead 3 measures of fine flour and make bread." Abraham ran to the herd and got a tender choice calf. He gave it to a young man who hurried to prepare it. Then Abraham took curds and milk, as well as the calf that he had prepared, and set them before the men. He served them as they ate under the tree. "Where is your wife Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he answered. The Lord said, "I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you that we get to gather in your name. Lord, would you be with us, be with our minds and our hearts, whatever burdens that we brought in with us this morning, may you take those from us. Lord, you're full of mysteries, and we just ask that you would reveal some of those to us this morning in a way that we haven't experienced. May we be able to see you differently when we leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the title of the message this morning is called Waiting on a Promise. And if you know anything about Abraham, you know he waited for a promise for a long time. And so I want to take us a little bit through Abraham's story. In chapter 11 of Genesis is the first time we get to see a glimpse of Abraham. It's kind of, or really his name was Abram at the time. And it was kind of a family history and showed where he came from. But it wasn't until verse 12 where we really started seeing God work in Abraham's life. And so Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go out from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" And so this is the first glimpse of the first promise that the Lord offers Abraham. And that's in chapter 12. And then right after that, Abram and Lot go off to the promised land. At this point in life, Abram was 75 years old. So realize, if nothing happened for the first half of your life, the Lord can always work no matter what stage of life you're in. It wasn't until Abram was 75 years old that the Lord began to do a mighty work in him. And then we look into chapter 13, and so Abram and Lot leave. Chapter 13 comes, Abram and Lot separate. The next chapter, 14, Abram has to rescue Lot. Lot gets caught up in a war and becomes a prisoner, and so Abram takes 318 of his men and goes and rescues Lot. And then we get to chapter 15, and this is the Abrahamic covenant. It says, "After all these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward will be very great.'" And then we look at chapter 16 and Hagar and Ishmael. Abram sleeps with his servant Hagar and has their first son, Ishmael, but it's still not the promised son from the Lord. Chapter 17, we get to covenant circumcision. And at this point, this is where Abram turned into Abraham at this circumcision, where the Lord changed his name because he was doing something new in his life and making a covenant with him. And at this point, Abraham was 99 years old. If you think it's hard to follow Jesus and you think you have to make hard decisions during the day, imagine being 99 years old, getting all the way through life, and the Lord saying, "I need you to circumcise yourself." You think you have it hard. I mean, this is... I can't even imagine. And from this point, from the first promise the Lord gave Abraham, 24 years have passed. 24 years, that's longer than I've lived. and God still hasn't fulfilled a promise. And I can't really even imagine what Abraham must have been feeling. And in chapter 17, 3 through 8, it says, "Then Abraham fell face down, and God spoke with him. As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come from you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring through their generations." So we go from Abram to Abraham. And then we get to verse 18 where we're at today. And the Lord promises him again, "In a year's time, Sarah, your wife, will bear a child." Whew, that's a lot of history, isn't it? Really, really quick. You know why it's important to remind ourselves of Abraham? Because he was the smartest man. Did you know that? Because he knew a lot. You'll get that later. And so this morning, I really want to talk about, in ancient times, the nations and these powers would make covenants and treaties with each other. And it's important for us to learn what that looked like and what it meant for them, for us to get the big picture of the covenants that God has made with us. And so there's really two specific treaties that I want to talk about. First one is the parity treaty, and then the second one's going to be the suzerain and vassal treaty. The parity treaty, it was made between two equal powers. A lot of this was all about military alliance. And so you'd have two nations that would come together of equal size, equal power, and they'd be like, "Hey, we're going to team up, and if somebody comes against me, then you're going to jump in and help me." And in this treaty and in this covenant, they would refer to each other as brothers. But the one I really want to focus on is the suzerain and vassal treaty. And the difference is, in the suzerain vassal treaty, one party was way more powerful than the other. The more powerful party was the suzerain, and then the vassal was the weaker party. The suzerain had the right to demand submission. And the relationship that they had, they always referred to each other as father and son, or as lord and servant. The suzerain usually initiated this relationship by offering land. And the suzerain had authority over the vassal's land and people. The responsibility of the suzerain was for protection, and the responsibility of the vassal was for tribute and loyalty. The vassal could have no other suzerain. If you were a smaller nation, you could not have a covenant or a treaty with another large nation if you were under one. But a suzerain could have as many vassals as they wanted. And so there's this whole deal with loyalty with the nations. And loyalty was so big in these treaties. And the word for loyalty that's used in this text, in the Hebrew, it's hest. And the translation for that is love, loving kindness, mercy, faithfulness. But the one I really want to focus on this morning that I feel like sums it up the best is covenant faithfulness. And this is a covenant that comes from blood. This is the covenant that a son would owe his father, that the firstborn would owe his father. This wasn't just a pinky promise that was made. This was something way deeper. And there's this term that they used where it was called cutting a covenant. And what that meant was when they would go into a covenant and start talking through a treaty, you know, the suzerain would come and initiate, and then the vassal would accept. And what would happen is they would take animals and they'd split them in half, they'd cut them in half, put them on each side, and there'd be blood all down an aisle. And a lot of times the vassal would have to walk down the aisle with animals just cut in half in front of, on the sides of him. And he would have to recite his oaths and he'd have to recite his vows while he was walking through the animals. And the reason that was because it was a symbol that if I break this covenant, if I break this treaty, what has been done to these animals should be done to me. And so, like, this is a strong covenant that they are making. And so why do we need to know this? And so we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 15, 8 through 10. But he said, "Lord God, how can I know that I will possess it?" It's Abraham talking about the promised land. He said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." So he brought all these to him, cut them in half, and laid the pieces opposite each other. But he did not cut the birds in half. And what we see here, you know, we may just read this passage and go straight on. But with a little bit of understanding, we can see what it really means. The Lord is inviting Abraham into a covenant with him in a way that he understands. And I think that's so important, because we think that God does everything in these mysterious ways and that we don't understand them and we'll never get it. But a lot of times the Lord uses things that we know and that we understand. Because it's not like he doesn't want us to know who he is. He doesn't want us to be confused our whole lives. But he wants to reveal things to us, and there's no problem with him using our methods to do so that we will understand. And we go on into verse 12 after this, and Abraham falls into a deep sleep. Anybody remember the last person to fall into a deep sleep before Abraham? Adam. Yeah. And so this is the second person who falls into a deep sleep. And so I feel like the Lord is really saying right here, hey, pay attention. And the writer's saying, pay attention. Something big's about to happen. The last time Adam fell asleep, Eve came into the picture. And so Abraham falls into a sleep in this moment, and a darkness ascends. And he sees a smoking fire pot in verse 17 and a flaming torch that passed through and divided the animals. Now, we're starting to see the picture of it now, but did you see who passed through? Did you see who passed through the animals? It wasn't Abraham. It's supposed to be the weaker one that walks through. But we see God taking that on himself and saying, I will walk through, and if I break my covenant with you, may what happened to these animals happen to me. Is it making sense at all? I know this is a lot, and it's but I really want us to see this morning. And it was God saying, Abraham, I'm going to keep my promise. So have confidence in that, because I will not fail. And I can't help but think that God walked through instead of Abraham, because he knew that he would never be able to keep it. He would never be able to stay faithful. But God can, because he is faithful. And so we look at this big picture of God taking the place of Abraham while we're making this covenant. And we see glimpses of the gospel, because whose flesh was it torn for this broken covenant that was made? The covenant was broken, but it wasn't by God. If Abraham would have broken it, and if Abraham would have walked through, we would have probably had another Noah story where we all get wiped out again. But God walked through, and God took the punishment for that covenant being broken by sending his one and only Son. And so we get to see the glimpse of the gospel as early as chapter 18 in Genesis. We see it even earlier in chapter 3, but even in the very beginning, we see glimpses of the gospel. And to abide by the contract of one's suzerain was to love him. To go against it was to hate him. And we see this in the Gospels too. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, go feed my sheep. And many of us go through this life hopeless. Many of us go through afraid. We go through doubting because we don't know whether or not God's promises are going to come through. And a lot of times we need to be reminded of what the promises of God actually are. And so we're going to go through this really, really quick. God's presence is one of his promises. He says, I will never leave thee. God's protection, I am your shield. God's power, I will strengthen you. God's provision, I will help you. God's leading, he goes before them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. God's purpose, I know the plans I have for you. God's rest, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God's cleansing, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's goodness, no good thing will he withhold from those who live with integrity. God's faithfulness, the Lord will not forsake his people. God's guidance, he will guide the humble. And God's wise plan, all things work together for the good of those who love him. And there's a lot of us that need these promises so bad in our life right now. We need to know that God's with us. We need to know that he's powerful. We need to know that we can find rest in him. We need to know that he's faithful and he's going to come through. We need to know that he has a purpose for our life and that he has a will for our life and that when things don't seem to be going right, he's going to provide for us. And we forget and we question and we doubt all the time. And so in these moments of life where we're waiting on promises, what do we do in those times? What are we supposed to do while we're waiting? And I think we should just look back at Abraham. So the Lord appeared to Abraham at the oaks of Mamre. While he was sitting at the entrance of his tent during the heat of the day, he looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to meet them, bowed to the ground and said, My Lord, if I have found favor with you, please do not go on past your servant. Let a little water be brought that you may wash your feet and rest yourselves underneath the tree. I will bring a bit of bread so that you may strengthen yourselves. This is why you have passed your servant's way. Later you can continue on. Yes, they replied. Do as you have said. And during this time, we just learned 24 years have gone by and the promise hasn't been fulfilled. And we see Abraham questioning God, how will I know? And then God makes a covenant. And what he does during these 24 years is we got to realize, like, Abraham was a sojourner. He wasn't settled anywhere. He just moved place to place, waiting and relying on the Lord. And what we got to realize is when we get these promises, you know, these are the we just looked at the promises of God that we know are true, but I can't say that God hasn't promised you something. Like, there may be something in your life that you feel like God has promised you. And so what do we do while we wait on those? And what I see Abram doing, or Abraham, is he's serving. After 24 years, I would understand that Abraham could have been probably really mad and given up on the whole thing. But instead, he decided to serve. And when we serve people while we wait, we are continuing to move forward. We are continuing to do God's will. Because a lot of times we grab these promises and we just want to hold on tight and lock ourselves in the closet and wait for them to come true. But I think the Lord's calling us to serve in these times. And it takes us to another picture of Jesus. washing his disciples' feet, and serving while he waited on his promised glory. Jesus didn't have to. He could have just waited it out and prayed in the garden and just been by himself. But he decided to be with people, and he decided to serve and to be obedient and to not wait stagnant, like in a stagnant state, but in an active state. So there's promises that you've been given, and know that the Lord is faithful to those. Promises to be with you, promises to provide, promises to show you purpose and plans, promises to give you power and strength. And there's a lot of times we don't feel it, and we're sitting there waiting for it to come to us. But let us not doubt, because the Lord is faithful. And the good thing about Abraham's story is that it didn't end with God making a promise. It ended with God fulfilling. There's a lot of these promises that we read and we know, but we never receive the promise. We started off with a wedding example, and we'll end with one. It would be like Jesus waiting for you at the end of the aisle. Or no, sorry. It'd be like you waiting on Jesus. And you see Jesus walking down the aisle. And you are in this marriage ceremony. And Jesus comes and he says his vows to you. He promises to be with you. He promises to strengthen you. He promises to provide. He promises to give wisdom. He promises to love. He promises to show mercy. And we say, that's great. And then we walk back down the aisle and never accept his vows. And we never give him ours. So this morning, if there's promises in your life that you're awaiting to be fulfilled, know that he is faithful to fulfill them. Know that he has made a covenant with you. We live under the new covenant. And I said that this covenant was one of blood. And Jesus shed that blood for us. So may we be confident in knowing that he will fulfill his promise. And so this morning, if you need to receive prayer, you can come up and a prayer team will come up and pray with you. If you need just to sit in your seat and ask the Lord, what promise have I not received? I've heard them, but I haven't accepted them. And I don't believe it all the time. Lord, would you give me faith this morning to know that you are faithful? So let's just take time this morning to speak with the Lord and to accept the promises that he's given us. Because we're not slaves to fear. A song that's really been getting to me lately over the past few years, it's a song called Yes and Amen by House Fires. They're out of Atlanta. And the chorus goes, faithful you are, faithful forever you will be, faithful you are, all your promises are yes and amen. And then the bridge goes, I will rest in your promises, because my confidence is in your faithfulness. May we not put our confidence in other things this morning, but may we put our confidence and our hope in the faithfulness of God to fulfill his promises. So let's just take time this morning to sing and to ask the Lord what he would like to do in our hearts.
me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. And I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I will stand. Child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for going on our behalf to take and make promises that we can't keep. And Lord, I just ask for a confidence in your promises. Lord, give us a freedom that we can walk in. So, Lord, would you bless these people? Would you remind them daily of the promises that you have? And would you just keep us safe until we meet again? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.